Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright Market Update for Monday, October the 26th, 2020. I'm Jay Gragnani, and here joining me this week is Ian Saunders. And this week, a lot going on in the markets this week, a lot of activity this week. First and foremost, this is the last full week of trading in the month of October, which means that it's the last full week of trading in what is historically known as the seasonally weak period in the market, that going along with the adage of the sell in May and go away idea. Obviously, this year, the markets have been nothing but resilient over the course of this, what is traditionally or historically has been a weak period for the market, that being a period from the beginning of May through the end of October. As it stands now, through Friday, the S&P 500 is up about 19% since the beginning of May, with most areas of the market benefiting as well. The S&P equal weighted up 18%, the Dow up 16%. Other areas, momentum, ETFs like PDP up over 30%. And so, we really have seen a rather broad move higher across a lot of the equity indexes, but across a lot of stocks as well during this time period. So next week, as we wrap up this 6 month period next week, we'll have some more numbers to kind of dig into you and show you and talk about as we turn the calendar to November. That historically starts what is known as the seasonally strong period in the market. There's also a lot going on next week, obviously, with the U.S. presidential election happening. So we'll be sure to provide some perspective around that. Also, with that being said, too, we are hosting an additional webinar this week. In addition to this one, we're hosting a webinar on Thursday, the 29th, more of a pre-election webinar. So look for information on sign up for that in the Daily Equity Report. There'll be links to be able to sign up for that webinar that will take place on Thursday, the 29th at I believe 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. So be on the lookout for that. In addition to that, this week there's a lot of names reporting earnings, a lot of big names, a lot of big technology names reporting earnings. So just be cognizant, be aware of that. We've had some stuff in the report over the past couple of weeks in terms of if you're looking to hedge a stock or hedge a basket of stocks with put options, that might be a good time to do so prior to earnings if you want to look to protect against a potential swift move down as a result of earnings. But, just be aware of it, be cognizant that there are a number of stocks reporting earnings and just a lot of news out there that certainly the market is reacting to today. And today's reaction is a negative reaction with the Dow right now down over 900 points, down about 3%. The S&P, the NASDAQ, both down over about 2.5%. So as of right now, at least as it relates for the Dow, going on the worst day, single day so far on pace for it, since February of last year, you have to go back to February of this year. It seems like last year, but February of this year when the Dow was down over 3% on February 25th. Nonetheless, when we look at the result of what is going on, I think it's important to continue to try and maintain some perspective. And when we look at chart here on the S&P 500 and then on the right-hand side, the NASDAQ 100, when we look at the S&P 500 chart, what we saw earlier in the month is the S&P made a run at those highs that were hit very early on in September up at 3580, was not able to here in October get back to that level. And we have since pulled back right towards the middle of the trading band around, 50 days, some shorter term moving averages. And so that's, basically what we saw as a move higher and kind of this regression back towards mean, back towards some initial support there in the 3380 to 34 level, 3400 level, excuse me. After that, you've got some support down around 3340 and then, 3220 after that. So, certainly be important to keep an eye on those levels of support for the S&P, for the NASDAQ 100. 11,300 presents some initial near-term support followed by 10,700 to 10,800. But very similarly, in the picture of the NASDAQ 100, you've seen a pullback as a result of last week's and today's action a pullback right towards the middle of the trading band. So, you know, right back basically towards mean or right around the 50-day or 10-week moving average that we've seen these indexes and many indexes pull back to. So we'll continue to monitor those going forward. We haven't seen any deterioration in terms of those support levels just yet, but certainly something that we will continue to monitor as we go forward, as we move through the rest of this week, last week in the month of October, before turning the calendar to the month of November. But you know, before we get there, you know, there was a lot going on last week, Ian, and you know, it was interesting to kind of look underneath the surface and see what unfolded in terms of some performance numbers around last week, as well as, you know, how those have looked on a year-to-date basis.
Absolutely, Jay. And as you said, negative returns that we're seeing from some of the broader indexes, at least through at the time of this recording today, is was something that we saw kind of begin a little bit there last week, with the S&P 500 index posting a slight loss on the week, down a little bit over 0.5%. Interestingly enough, I mean, outside of the top performing fund in our kind of broad weekly performance overview, I'm looking at it from a sector and some other broad representatives there, a top performing fund being that communication services select and sector spider fund, up over 2% over the past 7 days. But other than that, a lot of those top performing areas or sectors that we saw from the market were from some of the more laggard areas that we've seen over the past several months. They're looking at financials, utilities, energies, those areas that might not rank quite as highly from a relative strength perspective across some of our broader RS rankings, showing outperformance there over the past week. Emerging markets also showing some pretty significant outperformance there, being the second highest ranked fund from a performance standpoint, up over 1.5%. And some of the lower ranked areas are those leaders that we've seen, or from the performance standpoint, being the technology fund, showing a loss of over 2% there over the past 7 days. Momentum, the ETF representative ticker PDP, showing a loss of over 2% as well. So it definitely a place to keep an eye out there, Jay, as you said, seeing a lot of earnings coming up over the next few days here, with a little over a third of the S&P 500 reporting earnings this week alone. And a good chunk of those names are coming from the technology and industrial space. So those two places specifically, with their weekly losses last week, will definitely be an area to keep an eye on as some of these earnings come out over the course of the next few days. And will certainly be a place to monitor as we head through the close of the month of October here. In looking at it from a broader perspective too, we didn't see that those returns really change all that much from a broad asset class standpoint, at least on a relative strength perspective. Domestic equities remained unchanged, but still up at the top of the broad asset class rank in our Dolly tool, with 272 buy signals, really showing that kind of continued further separation from fixed income, which actually did lose a buy signal over the past week, bringing it down to 223 signals there. International equities was the only area to pick up a buy signal, still ranked last, though, with 117 buy signals. But so we've seen some interesting movement within another area that's not ranked quite as highly from a broad asset class standpoint in commodities. But if you look underneath the hood at the relative strength breakdown within the commodities asset class, there's really kind of four main areas that we track on our tally matrix perspective in the Dolly tool. And looking at those higher ranked areas, at least we've seen recently, precious metals and industrial metals. Precious metals has really been that kind of bellwether space throughout much of this volatility and movement that we've seen over the past several months, really. But we've seen that space begin to lose some buy signals over the past few weeks. There at the end of August, it was sitting up at a buy signal high of 69 signals, got as high as 70 signals there by mid-September, and is now falling back to 62 buy signals, still ranked number one. But industrial metals, which is now ranked two, has risen up pretty substantially, gaining 9 buy signals over the past several weeks here to bring it up to a current buy signal count of 58. So just sitting 4 signals away from that precious metal space will certainly be a place to continue to keep an eye out here as we head through or head towards the end of the year. And we've already seen some change from some more focused RS relationships and some of the models there, Jack.
Yeah, you know, as it relates to commodities, I mean, it's been quite an interesting space to watch the commodity space, everything from the strength that we've seen out of gold and really silver and the broader precious metal space for quite some time now, to the volatility that we saw within crude oil, not only to the downside, and then, you know, crude oil futures actually turning negative at one point earlier in the year. But, you know, one of the mainstays of the stability in the commodities market really has been precious metals for the better part of the past year. And one of the models that we have on our site is an Invesco commodity rotation model. It's one of the longer running models that we've had available on the website in terms of publishing it. That model date goes back 13 years, as a matter of fact, September of 2007. And the design of that model is to look at the universe of the Invesco Deutsche Bank commodity ETFs, of which there's the handful of those. Things from single commodities like gold and silver and oil to some broader baskets like ags and energy and precious metals at large. And back in July of last year, that model rotated 100% into split between the Precious Metals Fund, DBP, which is a mixture of gold and silver, as well as holding gold. So it was 100% precious metals and stayed that way basically from July of last year until just this week, where we saw precious metals begin, as you alluded to, we've seen some weakness a little bit in the precious metals. Precious metals, the DBP fund, rotating out of that portfolio and seeing DBB, which is base metals, rotate into there. And so when you look at the fund, the precious metals fund that rotated out of there, that was primarily gold. It's about 80% gold, 20% silver. So that precious metals fund was skewed towards gold. And in its place is base metals coming into the portfolio, which base metals, as it relates specifically to DBB, has exposure to three metals, including copper, zinc, and aluminum. And they're more or less, you know, about a third each. Copper is a little bit more weight inside of that ETF right now, with getting, you know, about 38%. But they're all, you know, they're all about 30%. And, you know, copper prices, as they are just alone, have been on a tear since the market bottom, moving up to 316. If on a chart, if you look at HG/ is the continuous chart of copper, if you want to look at just kind of copper itself. But the base metals certainly have been seeing some notable improvement. And we've seen that now show up in some of these models, and specifically within the commodity model here, seeing BBB rotate into that model again.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. And definitely some interesting notes, or things to take note of here, and kind of what's strong heading into what is expected to be a continued volatility there at the election next week. In looking at other areas across the market from a broader perspective, I mean, we see the broad commodity space still continue to rank lower from a ranking perspective here on the asset class group scores page, looking at the macro view, but really haven't seen all that many changes in general over the past week or two here on this macro view perspective. Commodity space still has a positive score direction. It's kind of creeping up towards that 3-score line, so it will be an interesting place to make note of as we move through the next few weeks here. One change that we did see, at least from the top end of the macro view rankings, on the backs of that continued emerging markets outperformance that we saw over the course of the past few days, saw the emerging markets diversified group cross back above that 4.0 score line up into the blue sky zone, as we call it here on the page. And in looking at other areas, we saw cash fall a little bit lower on these rankings, moving down from a money market percentile rank of about 7% down below 6% there to 5.63. The U.S. equity core percent rank has remained relatively unchanged up there toward the top of the rankings at the 91st percentile. So definitely will be an area to continue to monitor here on the group scores page as we head through the next few weeks here. But not all that many changes, at least over the past few days, as we're heading towards the election next week there, Jeff.
That's right. You know, we'll continue to monitor the situation. We've seen some more volatile days here over the past couple of months, and so we'll continue to monitor support levels on the major indexes, support levels on individual stocks. If you have any questions about specific positions that you may own, about any of the ETF models or anything we talked about today, please do not hesitate to give us a call, shoot us an email. We'll be happy to chat with you about that. So as always, as I mentioned earlier, we are hosting again another webinar this Thursday, the 29th, if we want to follow up on some perspective in terms of how the indicators might react to today's market action, charts might react over the next couple of days. Be sure to tune into that. You can get access to a link through our daily equity report or shoot us an email. We can send that over to you. But as always, we appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us, hearing what we have to say. So thank you very much for that. And we look forward to talking to you next week.